This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack, but with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Watley on KLZ 560.
Welcome to Haystack Help Radio. Thank you so much for joining us today. Well, you made it till Friday. Congratulations. Well, we're going to kick off the show today with our good friend Greg Lopez. Lopez for Governor 2022. Follow him on Facebook. And I'm telling you, he does a great live stream every Monday at 4 o'clock. So if you're on Facebook, Lopez for Governor 2022, Mondays at 4, put that on your phone. Shoot you an alarm to let you know you need to join in on that. And I'm telling you, if you're not on Facebook, it is worth getting on just to be a part of that conversation and get Greg's viewpoints. So we will welcome Mr. Lopez. How are you?
Good. Thank you for having me, Scott. Same here. Yeah, it's always a pleasure.
You know, I tell you, it seems like when, you know, even a couple of months ago, man, can things get any stranger, you know, 2 months ago and then last month and just day by day.
I know.
And now this thing. The governor's put out with the bars, and we'll wait and see what a judge says. I mean, it must be great just sit there and just pull stuff out that you've got no backup, really, to really prove anything. And then just, he says, you know, just a minor interruption kind of in people's lives.
I mean, I know.
He's not giving up 30 days worth of income.
No.
And I've heard some of these, you know, bar owners saying, hey, that can be 30 to 40% of their income during those hours.
That's true.
For the day.
That's true.
So, you know.
You know, it's very interesting because, you know what, they've always said, you know, that people will always tell you, you know, you want to test the character of a person, give them power. And we truly are seeing the character of the governor. And that character to me says, you know what, I have no interest in learning or understanding the impacts that my decisions are having on Colorado families, are having on the businesses, you know, that have been out there for generations. You know, I was told just the other day, Scott, that, you know, there's a restaurant in Boulder that the governor visits it frequently, right? His family, they go to eat. That restaurant's been there for 50 years. Because of his actions, they're closing down. They're shutting down.
Wow.
You know, and if he doesn't understand the impact, he truly is clueless as to how he's looking at, he says he wants to save lives, but yet he's destroying lives.
Yeah.
You know, and so it very is interesting to me, and to me, what it shows, he has no idea on how to keep his hand on the pulse of the communities across the entire state of Colorado. He is making all his decisions based on what's going on in the urban corridor, and yet when you look at those numbers don't even make sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and to your point, where's it going to end?
Sure,
I don't think it will. You know, what he's slowly doing is eradicating and eroding the confidence of small business owners that they can stay open. I mean, imagine for a minute someone telling you, hey, you can open your doors. And then 2 weeks later, it's like, okay, well, I told you you could open your doors, but now you got to have less than 50% of the people that you typically have within your establishment. It's like, okay, 2 weeks later, oh, let's add to that that now everybody must be wearing a mask.
Mm-hmm.
And then later, it's like, oh, let's add to that that you can't stay open or you can't serve one of your most valuable products, which is a cocktail, past 10 o'clock. You know, what's the next thing he's going to do?
Right.
Is he going to say, you know what, that's not working, so I need you all to close at midnight? You know, and to your point, he has no understanding as to the cycle of these businesses as to when their customers are coming in.
Well, in order to have the pulse of something, you've got to have some communication.
Right. Right. Or be out there.
And yeah, and I'm not, I mean, I don't know his schedule. Maybe he's met with some of these owners. I don't know. But we haven't had any of these bar owners say, you know, man, we had a great productive meeting with governor, and we at least got to share where we're coming from.
Look,
not heard one say that.
And you won't, because he's not doing it, right? I mean, it was clear. When he decided to use the CARE funds on his own and didn't even bother to check with the Joint Budget Committee of the legislature. You know, it is clear that he feels very comfortable in making decisions on his own. He feels very comfortable that he doesn't have to listen or hear to anybody's difference of opinion or look into the future of what's going on. Remember, I told you this, and I stand by this. He is going to continue every 30 days
you said that.
To extend this so-called emergency disaster that we're in, even though we're not, right? And he loves to use the word pandemic. We're not in a pandemic. He loves to use the word, I'm saving lives. Mm-hmm. You know, we all got to do our part, you know, and he's just going to continue this and continue this until someone, whether it's the legislature or someone comes back and says, you know what, enough is enough. And I'm so glad that the courts at least told him he could not rewrite the Colorado Constitution when he came to election law.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Because he tried.
Yeah, no doubt. Now, this last weekend downtown, there was an event going on. Tell us a little bit about your...
You know, it's... For those of you that don't know, I mean, I really encourage you to... and I know it's hard to watch the news. I know it's hard because, you know, there is real no good news coming out anymore. But this Sunday, okay, at the Civic Center Park, you know, just across the street from the Capitol, it was the 6th annual Law Enforcement Appreciation Day, right? And the people were just gathering. It was a family, supposed to be a family event, gathering with some music and just showing all of our men and women in blue that people appreciate. That they go out there and protect us. They go out there and put themselves in harm's way. But we appreciate the hard work that they're doing, right? And so Antifa, okay. Oh, before I forget, I was told that every year for the last 5 years, the governor has signed a proclamation acknowledging Law Enforcement Appreciation Day. Not this year.
Not this year.
This year there was no proclamation signed by the governor. Gotcha. Makes you wonder, right? Makes you wonder what's
things that make you go, hmm.
Yeah, exactly. Right? So Antifa, which I believe is hiding under the banner of Black Lives Matter.
I agree.
Okay. Was across the street at the Capitol. Okay. Now, I'm going to tell you, people got ambushed. This rally was an ambush. It was strategic. It was military in style. Their goal was to go in there, disrupt, create chaos, stop it, draw blood, make sure that they send a strong message that this is not allowable and it's not going to be tolerated, even though it was a peaceful gathering. And so they gathered at the Capitol. Within 30 minutes after the rally of the law appreciation started, they crossed over and they overtook the entire area. They overtook the stage, okay? And they made sure that they achieved their goal, which they did, you know? And so it's unbelievable. And now we're finding out that I believe Mayor Hancock did a distinct order of stand down to the police officers, do not get involved, don't even show up, okay? And that's what happened, okay? There were officers there, but they didn't get there in time, you know? And it's sad. It really is sad, and I'm really disappointed because I used to, and I still consider Michael Hancock a friend because I've known him for over 20 years, but I don't understand his actions. Why are you silent?
Mm-hmm.
Why have you not had a press conference and condemning what happened?
Right.
You know, why aren't you saying this is wrong? And where's the governor? The governor is silent as well. That is wrong. You know, and then when it comes to the governor and the People's House, for those that haven't been down to the Capitol, at least they're cleaning it up.
Right.
Right. But beforehand, and I think, Scott, you know, last Monday when I did my video, video itself, I showed a slide presentation, a slideshow of a number of pictures of what the Capitol looked like. Right. Kevin Lundberg sent a letter and did the same thing. Jerry Sandberg and a lot of Republicans, and a lot of community leaders said, you need to clean this up. Well, interestingly enough, yesterday, they decided to start cleaning it up, right, at a price tag of over $1 million. Now, here's the real question. Is he going to make sure it never happens again?
Mm-hmm.
Or is he just going to clean it up once and allow it to get bad again before he cleans it up? You know, I'm going to tell you, actions speak louder than words. And when the governor cannot even protect the People's House, how are we supposed to believe him when he says, I'm protecting lives and I'm protecting business and the Colorado economy by taking these actions that I'm taking?
Right.
You know, I really think that people need to step back, evaluate what's happened, and make their own determination. Are we on the right path, or do we need to make some changes?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm a firm believer Governor Polis needs to be a one-term governor. He doesn't deserve to be the governor of Colorado. The majority of people do not like that he's trying to turn Colorado into California. And I am the one that's going to step forward and say, I would be honored if the people of Colorado chose me to be the next governor.
Right. Greg Lopez is with us. Lopez for Governor 2022. Once again on Facebook, please follow Greg on there. I'm telling you, he does some great work, sends out some great messages. Mondays at 4, so make sure you join in on that. What's it going to take? I mean, you know, I remember back at the National Western Conservative Summit, there was a group there for the recall and all that. I mean, is there anything that can be done before you get a chance to be the next governor?
Yeah, Scott.
What could be done?
There is something that we can do. If we really want to at least slow down what is happening and send a strong message that we are not supportive of where you're taking our state, we must all make sure that we make our voices heard loud and clear mm-hmm. on November 3rd, the next election. And I tell everybody, you know, if you believe in our country and democracy and the way we do business, then you need to make sure that we have a divided legislature. We have the House that belongs to the Democrats and the Senate belongs to the Republicans.
Right.
Why? Because that forces debate. That forces conversation. That forces compromise. And if they can't reach that, then there is no sign or bill mm-hmm. that can be signed by the governor. Okay? Right now, there's one party that controls the entire governmental system. Okay? And so there is no discussion. And right now, because the governor has full control, he can constantly renew every 30 days this emergency state for the state itself, mm-hmm. which allows him to do anything he wants to do. And that is wrong.
It is.
And I'm still of the mindset that, you know, a lot of people, and you'll hear a lot of legislatures, well, Greg, these executive orders are laws. They're not laws. He's abused the Constitution. He's stretched the definition of what it is that an emergency situation is for Colorado. He's defined his own definition.
One putting us in an emergency situation.
Exactly. You know, but that's what we can do. You know, we need to make sure that we help and we support. We knock on doors. We let people know. Look, we need to have the House controlled by one party and the Senate controlled by another so that we can have good mm-hmm. debate to make sure that we're making good informed decisions as to what are the laws that apply to the citizenry of Colorado. And so do that. You know, because if we don't, you're right, it's going to be another 2 years. And if you look back and see what he's done in 2 years, imagine what it'll do in the next two.
Oh, the way it is now? I mean, look how, we would have never dreamed some of these things would have happened to us over the last few months.
And I'm going to tell you, I talked to a lot of parents. They're on edge. You know, they're anxious.
Oh, very
They're losing sleep because they don't know what school's going to look like mm-hmm. when they open it. You know, and here's the other thing. You know, it's amazing to me that, you know, here you have all these public health officials that they're just worried on the number of cases of COVID-19.
Right.
They're not worried about the number of people that are in the hospital. Okay. they're worried about the numbers. Okay. Of cases, but they have no concern about the mental impact to our kids that they have to wear a mask. You know, that they have to be 6 feet away from their friends, right?
Sure.
That they have to study at home, right? And here's what I'm really concerned with, you know, and not everybody, right? There's a lot of families that have more than one child, right? And they're all in school.
Right.
So if they're online, think about this. They're all online. They all have to have their own computers. They all have to have, better make sure that at home has a big enough bandwidth.
Yeah, for sure.
To handle all this stuff. Right. And even the parents are having to work at home because they got to be there to help. Right.
Exactly.
But the minority communities, the Black community, the Hispanic community, you know, they don't have the ability to have all these computers in their homes. You know, but no one talks about that. No one talks about the suicide rate. No one talks about the opioid you know, increase domestic violence. No, because they don't care. You know, if they truly wanted to do the right thing, to your point, they'd be talking to a lot of different people about what is the best actions to take.
Absolutely. Greg Lopez is with us once again. Check out his Facebook page, Lopez for Governor 2022. You know, I would wager a bet, and a large bet, you've been to more meetings, communities, talked with more business owners in the last 30 days than the governor has.
You know what?
I would bet on that big time.
Yeah, and I would put some money on that as well.
Yeah.
You know, because that's what I do, right? I mean, I at least recognize that I'm asking to be a public servant and to represent the communities. And the only way you can actually effectively do that is by keeping your hand on the pulse of it and touching them, not reading a report, not looking at data, not looking at trends. You know, that's one small component of it. The other component, the majority of it, is go talk and sit down, right, with a business owner, right, a restaurant, a bar, you know, a chiropractor, a hairdresser, you know, talk to them.
Because, you know what, I think it makes people, because, I mean, you and I both been in business long enough. You've been in meetings where, hey, maybe you didn't agree with that person. But you know what? You felt better. At least they got to listen.
Right.
And at least they got to communicate and talk about some, you know, their of what's going on in their business. And at least you listened. And right now at this point, I mean, I think that's where the frustration is. Like I say, just press conference. All of a sudden he pops up on Facebook at the press conference and changing this. And, you know, nobody has a voice.
No, nobody does. You know, and it's unfortunate that we find ourselves in this situation. Look, our country is under attack, okay? We're at war. We're fighting for the future of what America is going to look like,
right?
Okay? And so I need people to wake up. I need a church to wake up, right? I need leaders to stand forward and say, look, let's have a good conversation about where we're going, you know? And Antifa, we need to make sure that they hear us loud and clear. We are not going to support your focus as to make us a social country, you know? And there are those that believe in Black Lives Matter that want to do the right thing. You know, I told people today, I was talking to someone else earlier, you know, it's like when they gather, when Black Lives Matter gathers, you know, the rallies at the beginning, they are peaceful.
Right, sure.
Yeah, because they are, these are the people that have jobs. These are the people that have a strong passion to make sure justice works, right? But they go home by 8.
Right.
Because they got to get up the next morning. If you notice, all the riots and all the destruction happens when it gets dark.
Yep, absolutely.
Right? And that's when the next crowd comes in, right? That's when Antifa comes in under the banner of Black Lives Matter, right? Yep. And they do all the destruction, right? And so there is two different crowds that are happening. Right. And so you have to look at this. You know, just yesterday I was talking with Kim Munson, and you know Kim very
well.
And she brought it to my attention. You know, it's interesting, Greg, because her researchers said, you know, when you drive downtown, you can see the Capitol building full of graffiti and destroyed and so forth. But you go across the quad to the city and county building in Denver, and it's not even touched. There's no graffiti. There's no destruction. Interesting that both buildings stand for the same thing.
Right.
But one is not being vandalized and the other one is. Very interesting.
Very interesting, yeah. You know, I saw an interview, Herschel Walker and Mark Cuban. And Herschel Walker said the other day, he said, you know, and it was something like $250 million or something the NFL was given to Black Lives Matter. And Herschel Walker said this. He said, you know, he said, he goes, I'd be willing to bet no one in the NFL that's approving these monies knows really what Black Lives Matter stands for and what they don't, you know, and what their real agenda is.
Right.
And that's very true.
Right.
And
you know what, Scott? I encourage everyone, go to the Black Lives Matter website. Go read their mission. Go read what they stand for. And it's not anything of what they're talking about in the public square.
Sure.
Right? There is a dark agenda that is behind the tagline, Black Lives Matter. And I agree with Herschel Walker. You know, these people that are writing checks at that level, they're not writing them because they understand.
Oh, no.
They're writing them for goodwill and publicity.
Sure.
Right? The NFL is worried that there's not going to be enough people watching the games because of this. So they're looking at what do we bring to the table? It's easy for them to write a check.
Right, sure. Right?
You don't see the owners or some of the top executives walking the streets and talking to people or doing anything that gets them a sense as to what really is happening.
Yes, sir.
And you'll never see it.
Yep, absolutely. Once again, Greg Lopez is our guest, Lopez for Governor 2022, on his Facebook page, Mondays at 4 o'clock. Be sure and catch his live stream. And I'm telling you, it's just good information. It's honest information. It's factual. But, you know, I was talking just with just – some of my friends that own businesses too, Greg, and I mean the stress level right now on everybody is unreal. You know, they're not being able to do anything in the summer here, you know, with their families.
Right.
They don't know about jobs, a lot of them. If they own businesses, they sure don't know about what's going to happen there. Kids in school, like you say, kids going to college. Our next door neighbor, his kid was supposed to go to Baylor, you know, for a freshman year and do all this stuff. And now, I mean, dreams are getting shattered and lives are getting shattered every day.
Exactly.
And it shouldn't have happened.
Never should have happened. Look, Scott, you go back. Graduations were canceled. Proms were canceled. Weddings were canceled. You know, you couldn't go to funerals. You know, people are dying alone in hospitals. None of this makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it continues. You know, and here's the other thing. Remember, I used to be the president of the Denver Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, the former director of the United States Small Business Administration. We're about to go into the fourth quarter. The fourth quarter of any given year is the hardest quarter for any small business. You know why? Because of the weather. People have a tendency to stay home. Mm-hmm. They're not going to go out as much. Okay? The only people that do a lot of good stuff in the fourth quarter is the mountains because of the snow.
Right.
But let's watch what happens. Right?
Sure.
Because we all know that there was a lot of concern that it first started because of people coming in from out of state up in the mountains, up in Eagle County.
Yeah, you're right.
Right? So we're going to go through this other cycle about how we're going to kill the economy for Colorado. And that's just wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so, you know, now is the time for people to choose. I really believe people need to start thinking about what side of the fence am I going to be on? We can no longer stay in the middle. You know, the silent majority needs to make a decision. You need to decide whether you support socialism and you believe everything that's going on is in the best interest of you and your family, not only for today, but for generations to come. Or you choose a side that says, we're going to believe in America.
Right.
We're going to believe in the American dream. We're going to believe in opportunity. And we're going to believe in justice and liberty. You know, now is the time to choose because we're coming to a point, okay, where the silent majority, if they continue to stay silent, we are basically giving away our country to people that don't care anything about people at all.
Absolutely. Tri-County Health whole deal with Douglas County. I mean, that was a good move, right, for them to pull out.
Oh, yeah.
For Tri-County Health, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that was really good.
For Tri-County Health to say this is what we believe is in the best interest, right, without really looking at the numbers, right? I mean, Douglas County looked at their numbers and they looked and said, hey, you know what? We're looking at the same numbers. We don't agree with you, right? But because it was Douglas, Adams, and Arapahoe, right, Tri-County Health thought, well, we'll just make them all do it, never thinking there would be a county to say, no way, no how.
Right.
You know, and Parker just passed an ordinance that say, we're not endorsing Tri-County Health either, because if you read the directive of Tri-County Health, it said, well, the counties can, and the cities also, they can give their own variance or waiver to this, but the counties can only do it for unincorporated county areas. The cities have to do it for their own cities. So Parker said, okay, you know what? We support Douglas County. County did theirs. We're going to do ours. And so in Parker, now, you know, when someone says, well, Tri-County Health said, no, that you have to, Parker can say, no, it doesn't apply to us, right? And so I would encourage people, you want to go shopping somewhere where you won't be hassled or you at least have a strong support that you don't have to be wearing a mask and so forth, go to Douglas County, go to Parker, go to those communities that have said enough is enough.
Right.
We're going to take care of our own, you know. And if you feel like you need to wear a mask, please wear a mask.
Absolutely.
Because you're going to protect yourself and others.
Sure.
Right. And if it makes you feel good, more power to you.
Right.
You know, but do not believe that we have to force everyone to be wearing a mask.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, we saw back before Memorial Day, you invited me to that restaurant meeting.
Yep.
And you know what? Those people said, we're going to open.
Yeah, and they did.
And before that night was out, it was on the news, some variants is coming out.
Right.
And all it took was some people to say, we're going to do what's best for us.
Right. And I'm going to tell you, Scott, I don't know if I mentioned this already, but and if I did, I apologize. But, you know, there's some rumblings out there that I'm hearing through my network and through my friends that the governor's going to shut us down again. I hope I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what, folks? We cannot withstand another attempt for his to shut us down under this false premise that he's saving lives.
And I haven't heard any. I mean, I've talked to a few healthcare people just following up from my knee surgery and stuff. Our hospitals aren't. I don't see any feet hanging out of the windows where they're overcrowded.
No, they're not.
I mean, at all. And talking to nurses and different doctors and different things,
Scott,
like that.
Look, there is a dark agenda here. It's buried. You know, it's surfacing. You know, I couldn't fully explain it to you what it is, but I can follow my gut and I can tell you it's not right. You know, what's happening? You know, and I'm glad to see that Weld County, Douglas County, other jurisdictions are saying, no. You know what? Just because you believe Denver, Aurora, you know, those communities where the big population, they're suffering or they're not controlling it correctly, mm-hmm. that doesn't apply to us. You know, and I was very disappointed at the press conference where the mandatory mask happened. You know, I know Mayor Kaufman. You know, I knew him when he was at the House, you know, and I worked very closely with him on the VA hospital. And I know Mayor Hancock. You know, I've known him when he was a council member, when he was on the head of the Urban League. Okay. I was extremely disappointed that they felt that, you know, it's okay to have a mandatory mask across the state because no one did an analysis mm-hmm. on Mesa County. No one did an analysis on Los Animas County, right?
Right.
They have zero deaths, 1 to 2 people in hospitals. And yet we ask them to do the same thing that we want Denver to do? It's just wrong.
Yeah.
This doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. And, you know, hey, somebody sits down with you, lays out something, it makes sense. Hey, I'm all for that.
Right.
But when something just makes no sense.
Right.
And it's destroying every fiber of our society.
Yep.
I mean, good night.
Look, Scott, I mean, I really think that, you know, there's a lot that's going on in our country. There's a lot that's going on here in Colorado. It's impacting our children. It's impacting our livelihoods. It's impacting, you know, the future. And right now, it's going to be interesting. If there's not another stimulus bill that adds another $600 on top of what the state gives you for unemployment,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's going to be interesting to see what the reaction of the citizens of Colorado is going to be.
Yep.
You know, but right now, because there hasn't been enough struggle and there hasn't been enough negative impact, I think there's too many people that say, well, you know, life seems to be okay,
mm-hmm.
you know, and, you know, he's like, it's just a mask. You know, what's the big deal?
Right.
It is a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, if you can only see the concept of a mask.
Because then it's going to be, you know what, you've got to have this vaccine.
Huh?
And then it's going to be, it's just a vaccine.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
And when you read the vaccine bill that they passed, and I encourage everyone out there, go read it. Okay. There is language in there that does allow for the state to mandatory require vaccines for everyone, not the kids that are going to school,
right.
but everyone. Okay. And so to your point, it's coming.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming, you know, and at the end of the day, we all need to make a decision. Are we going to do this? Or are we not going to do this?
Yeah.
You know, I was talking to someone that works in the healthcare industry as well. And they said, you know, Greg, it's interesting. Everybody's kind of waiting for this vaccine. You know, I've been taking the flu shot for years. I still get the flu every year.
Sure.
You know, so.
And they don't even know how long the vaccine will help you for.
No.
I mean, and not sure I want the first one that was just rushed through either.
Right. No, I'm with you. Look,
absolutely.
You know, Scott, I mean, it's, you know, it's tough times, and we as American people, as patriots, let's get out of our homes.
Yeah.
You know, let's band together, you know, because we do have a voice, and there's too many people out there that already bought into the narrative. Your voice doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Your vote doesn't count. And I'm going to tell you, I don't care how big the crowds are down in the Civic Center Plaza,
right,
you know, with 1,000 people. There are 5.8 million people in the state of Colorado. And 1,000 people does not represent
nope.
the majority of Colorado.
Absolutely. Lopez for Governor 2022. Follow him on Facebook every Monday at 4 o'clock. Also, go to the website, lopezforgovernor2022.com. Help Greg out, $10. Hey, let's take a minute and talk about that.
Well, listen, you know, I'm not going to let people know that it's not going to be a tough race. The governor is going to spend $23 million like he did last time, if not more. You know, I don't have the luxury to write a $23 million check, Scott. I don't know if you do.
No.
You know?
Oh, I can write it.
Yeah. Why not clear, right?
Right.
But the governor is going to spend whatever money he has. Okay. I, on the other hand, you know, I'm going to have to work hard. I'm going to raise the money, you know. And I do. I encourage people to invest in the future.
Sure.
You know, invest into what Colorado needs to be. So I would encourage you, the most that anybody can give, okay, to my campaign is $625. Now, if you can do that, that'd be awesome. I would appreciate it. You know, it will go a long ways because people don't understand that $625 can buy a lot of airtime.
Oh, absolutely.
Can buy a lot of campaign material. We can get our message out there across the entire state, okay? But for those that can't, and I truly understand, you know, like we were saying earlier, if you can do a monthly contribution of $10, $15, $20, you know, it all adds up.
Sure.
You know, but now is the time for people to start really looking at, am I willing to make an investment into an individual that's been fighting for Colorado, that has the right message, that can truly unseat this governor, because he, not only can he get the Republican vote, the unaffiliated vote, but more importantly, he can get the minority communities and Democratic vote away from Denver, Adams, and so forth. And he is a God-fearing individual, understands the hardships that every family goes through. You know, if that's what you're looking for, then I'm your guy.
Right.
And so please go to my website, lopezforgovernor2022.com. Make a small donation. I need your help. We're going to get it done one way or another, because we all know Colorado does not need to become California.
Yes, sir.
And if you want to see what's coming up next, just look at California, because it's coming to Colorado.
Yep. Well, folks, help us out there. LopezForGovernor2022.com, also on Facebook. Same LopezForGovernor2022, Mondays at 4. Greg, as always, pleasure. Look forward to our next visit, sir.
Pleasure to be here.
You're listening to Haystack Help Radio. We'll be right back.
Hi, everybody. Jack Corrigan. There's no better time than now to visit my friends at Len Lyle Chevrolet. They're open, following all proper safety precautions, and ready to offer terrific deals. Suburbans for over $10,000 less, better than $7,000 off a brand new Equinox. And Len Lyle Chevy has 0% financing on almost every model. Plus, they need trade-ins badly, so they're willing to pay over book value. Len Lyle Chevrolet, it's time for you to go east and pay the least. And did I mention they need your trade-in?
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome to Nutrition and Wellness Now with Dr. Mark Riggs, brought to you by 5280 Functional Medicine, where there is a better way to take control of your health. Check out the website, 5280functionalmed.com. And with that, we'll welcome Dr. Riggs. Dr. Riggs, how are you, sir?
Scott, I'm doing great. How are you?
Hey, it is great to have you back with us here. You kindly let Bryn come on last couple of weeks with us, or a few of our last shows, talking about nutrition. But, hey, you had a good reason for not being here last week.
That's right, yeah. My absence last week was justified.
Absolutely.
We had an addition to our crew early Thursday morning, a beautiful, healthy baby girl. So my wife did an amazing job birthing her at home, and under the supervision of a midwife, and it
wow.
was she made it look easy. I have to say, it was unbelievable. Real quick, short, active labor, and like I said, just making it look easy like a pro. So super proud of her, super happy for the new addition to the crew. And so, yeah, so that's what I was up to last Friday. It was sort of falling into a new routine with everybody and
good
brothers
deal.
Love her. And,
well, all the congratulations here from us, of course, here at KLZ, and very happy for you and your family, and glad mom and baby are doing well. So that's awesome.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, so I thought this show would be the perfect opportunity to just kind of discuss something related to what I was just going through. It was on my mind a lot, as you can imagine. So I wanted to discuss today how to cultivate health in children. We talk a lot, okay. Scott, about how to cultivate health in, you know, the adult population with various chronic diseases that afflict the adult population, like heart disease and diabetes and autoimmune things. But cultivating health in kids, a little bit of a different story. Some of the same rules apply, but as you can imagine, Scott, you know, so now I have 3 kids under 4, and anyone with kids is well aware of how we just get beat over the head with messages from everyone under the sun, including our conventional healthcare providers, about what we should be doing to keep our kids healthy. And unfortunately,
absolutely.
Like most of the medical and nutritional information out there, much of it couldn't be further from the truth, and I'm super grateful for my education in alternative medicine, so that I'm able to care for myself and my family most of the time, and then be able to determine when is the best time for other providers to intervene. But for most people out there without any sort of medical degree, it gets really, really confusing really, really quick. So I just wanted to cover that topic today with you. And so it's easy to think that, you know, the health of our children might start, you know, after they're born, what we feed them, and, you know, maybe conditions that they might be born with, or colic, and you know, how well they're getting sleep, and, you know, how much you're able to, you know, spend time with skin-on-skin contact and all sorts of these things. But actually, the health of a child begins before the child is born. And one could definitely make the argument that it begins with the health of the mother. So you can kind of trace things back quite a ways. And so the health status of the mother absolutely has an impact on the health status of the baby. And, you know, I'm sure people listening, some people are thinking, well, duh. But believe it or not, my wife and I have encountered patients, and also just friends of the family that had no idea that mother's nutritional status had any kind of impact on the baby. And then sometimes it just kind of illustrates to me how the knowledge that we've gained is just sort of sometimes is just taken, we take it for granted. But I wanted to make the point that women get told to take prenatal vitamins oftentimes when they find out that they're pregnant. But the catch is that oftentimes women don't find out until they're pregnant, until about 8 weeks in. And believe it or not, much of the baby's development has occurred within the first 3 weeks. So if you're pounding the prenatals after 8 weeks, that's really sort of a little too late. And really, the idea is to get those healthy prenatal, good sources of you know, high potency prenatal vitamins and nutrients in while you are planning on conceiving. That's number one. That helps bolster mother's health status, and so that she's able to pass down those nutrients to the child. You know, another thing that I think I've mentioned before in cultivating a healthy immune system, Scott, is that the health of the child also depends on the bacterial colonization that the mom passes through to the child through the placenta. And the substance on the baby as they come out of mom is called the vernix, and it covers the fetus while in the womb, and it sheds into the amniotic fluid as the fetus gets closer and closer to term, and it provides what's called prebiotic material that helps to seed the gut with healthy contents. And so that is the first big bang of healthy gut bacteria that a child gets,
right,
is through the placenta from mom. And the second big bang is when a child is born vaginally, because the vaginal canal has lots of healthy bacteria in it, and that gets all over the child's skin and eyes and nose and mouth, and that's the second big bang. And there's a lot of scientific literature to support the fact that having a healthy gut microbiota, this healthy balance of good and bad bacteria in the gut, in the gastrointestinal tract, leads to beneficial health outcomes in adults. We've talked about it for adults, but in children, there have even been studies showing the difference between health outcomes, long-term health outcomes for infants, with cesarean versus vaginal delivery. It's super interesting. And it basically, there's an article that I'm looking at now that says the immune system undergoes major development during infancy and is highly related to the microbes that colonize the intestinal tract. And it's been suggested that different initial exposures depend on the mode of delivery, vaginal delivery versus cesarean, and the microbes that seed the intestines during either cesarean or vaginal delivery may lead to changes in long-term colonization and subsequent altering of immune system development. And so there's research out there that people can look up that illustrates this this phenomenon here. When people are electing to undergo C-sections, not C-sections in an emergency. My wife and I have had a C-section in an emergency situation, and that is the beauty of conventional medicine. That's what they're there for. But there's a lot of people that are just electing for a C-section, either under the guidance of their doctor because their doctor wants the convenience factor, or the patient wants the convenience factor of knowing exactly when the child is going to be born. But this concurrent with the trend of the increase in cesarean deliveries, there's been this epidemic of both autoimmune disease like type 1 diabetes and Crohn's and multiple sclerosis and allergic diseases like asthma and allergic rhinitis and atopic dermatitis. The occurrence of these diseases, it happens to be higher in more affluent Western industrialized countries that are undergoing these elective cesareans, not emergency cesareans. There's nothing to be ashamed of if you need an emergency C-section. That is what our conventional counterparts are for. But this research, this scientific literature that is noticing these deleterious trends in elective C-sections and long-term health outcomes should absolutely be taken into consideration, because it plays an important role in the long-term health of your child. So, lastly here, it just says the immune system undergoes major development during infancy, and it's highly related to the microbes that colonize the intestinal tract. It's been suggested that different modes of exposure, the vaginal versus cesarean, these microbes seed the intestines and basically alter long-term immune development. So it's a big deal. And so, starting earliest possible, cultivating health in children, it obviously starts with mother's nutritional status.
Sure.
And making sure that we're eating a nutrient-dense, colorful, diet full of fruits and vegetables, that our gut is healthy to absorb those nutrients, that we're taking prenatal vitamins pre-conception, because if you're taking them when you find out you're pregnant, it's oftentimes too late.
And then the method of delivery plays a important role in the long-term health outcomes of children. Now, what's the next step after they're born? The child immediately needs something to eat, and oftentimes that is breastfeeding. And I know all these things are sensitive topics to moms, and I'm just saying that if you have the option between C-section and vaginal birth, there's scientific literature to support the health benefits of a natural vaginal birth as opposed to an elective C-section. Same thing with breastfeeding. If it's possible for mom to breastfeed, breastfeeding is more beneficial for long-term health outcomes for a child as opposed to formula feeding. So if there's some health factor interfering with your ability to breastfeed, you can even go to you can even look up on the internet. There are places that actually accept donations from other mothers, breast milk from healthy mothers. They obviously screen them for disease and things like that. Mm-hmm. And you can even go that route if you yourself cannot breastfeed. And we've passed these resources on to our patients. But you know, I've talked about this before as it relates to cardiovascular disease. Cholesterol is a major constituent of breast milk, and cholesterol is something that a growing brain needs to develop. And the reason why I bring up that point, Scott, is because anybody listening has been to the pediatrician, and myself and my wife who've been to the pediatrician, sure, several of them, trying to find somebody that's competent. The response that we've got is, oh boy, I hope you're not feeding your kids too many eggs. I hope you're not feeding them too many, you know, animal products. There's all that cholesterol. There's all that saturated fat. There's all that, you know, whatever. And does it make any sense in the world that the body would produce a substance like cholesterol that's poisonous for our babies to ingest constantly every other hour for the first 12 months of their life or more? Mm-hmm. Some people are breastfeeding their children almost exclusively for 3 or 4 years. So this idea that you know, cholesterol is somehow bad for babies just absolutely doesn't make sense when it comes out of the mouths of healthcare providers, when you consider the fact that breast milk is a high cholesterol-containing product, and it makes our kids tremendously healthy, not less healthy.
Right.
Additionally, Scott, this report that I just pulled up found that the benefits of breastfeeding are not only for common illnesses that occur in infancy. It's beneficial for avoidance of common illnesses found in infancy, but also for rare and more serious illnesses, and the rates of hospitalizations for things like pneumonia and severe lower respiratory tract infections are lower among breastfed infants than among those who are not breastfed. And a meta-analysis found a significant inverse association between breastfeeding and SIDS, which is sudden infant death syndrome. So the more they're breastfed, the less likelihood they are to suddenly die from this phenomenon called SIDS. The benefits of breastfeeding are also not just limited to infancy. They extend into childhood and even into adulthood. And a history of breastfeeding is clearly associated with decreased rates of common conditions, including eczema, obesity, and decreased rates of serious diseases like type 2 diabetes and childhood leukemias. So this is serious stuff. Mm-hmm. This is serious stuff. It starts with mom's nutritional status and mom's health status. It also rolls into how the baby is delivered, and then it rolls into if they're breastfed or if they're not, and how long they're breastfed. And it's recommended at a very minimum 6 months. And if you can do a year, that's great. And there's sort of a drop off after you get to a year. The health benefits don't quite continue to increase at the same rate as they do between that 6 month to a year range. So this isn't to shame anybody that physically can't do any of this stuff. It's not your fault that you physically can't, but if you have the choice between electing to have a C-section or not, or electing to breastfeed or not, the health, the positive health outcomes of those two things are very, very clearly established.
Absolutely. And, you know, and I think it's the same thing with us. I mean, if we look at, you know, adults even just trying to diet, you know, there's so many different opinions out there. And, you know, not everyone has the fortune of someone like yourself in their home that knows this stuff. So, I mean, how do we get, you know, that education out there that you know, you feel is right, you know, and healthy and good information, because there's just so many opinions out there. How do we get that information out?
You know, it's really tough, and that is exactly the reason why I'm speaking to you right now and to everybody listening. I'm trying to get the word out there. That's why my wife and I have our practice, 5280 Functional Medicine, located in the Inverness area, right off of I-25 and Dry Creek, kind of right in the middle of everything in the Denver metro. Easy access for people to get to. We do community health talks, pre-COVID at least, and hopefully we'll be able to get back to that soon. But in the meantime, we're blogging, we are sending out newsletters, we're getting on the radio, we're trying to, you know, scream this message far and wide to get people interested, to get the information out there, because you're exactly right. It absolutely starts with educating yourself, and you don't have to put all your eggs in my basket. You can, you know, get a lay of the land, do your own research, you know, check out PubMed, which is the public's access to scholarly research articles. Type in keywords for things that you're interested in, and have them send you scholarly articles that come out with regards to topics that you're into. But in the meantime, my wife and I are going to keep doing what we do and educating our patients, because there is just so much medical misinformation out there. And like I mentioned, we've gone to the pediatrician, we've gotten this bogus information with regards to childhood nutrition, for example. Just one example, childhood nutrition. And you know, we know that our conventional counterparts are not nutritionists. We know that they get next to no nutrition.
Sure.
And so the fact that they tell us to avoid things like, you know, like animal products, or they tell us to avoid, you know, fish because of the fat in it, or to avoid eggs because of the cholesterol in it, is just absolutely out of this world, out of touch with reality.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that if he's telling me and my wife that, he's told 500 other patients just this month that same thing. And that is how most people are being guided with their health choices and their nutrition choices. Those are the doctors that we come in contact with the most, and it's very unfortunate. So we've really got to be our own health advocates. We've really got to go around those people that don't have any experience in nutrition, which is one of the foundations of optimal health. And we need to really get with people, either functional medicine practitioners — my wife and I are both board eligible nutritionists and functional medicine practitioners — and we really take that upstream root cause approach to managing our patients and cultivating optimal health. And, you know, the topic of today is cultivating optimal health in children. And I just mentioned something here, a few things just to sort of recap: health status of the mother before baby's even born, the method of delivery, C-section versus natural, has a major impact on long-term impacts of childhood health and adult health, and then breastfeeding. And, you know, I mentioned that breastfeeding has an impact on, and C-section versus vaginal delivery has an impact on one thing that we've talked about a lot in the past, Scott, which is the development of childhood diabetes.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So we've got this epidemic of childhood obesity in our country, right, that's driven from a lot of different factors, many of which coincide with adulthood obesity, like a highly refined sugar and flour-laden diet, you know, too little sleep, too much stress. Kids deal with that, those two things, a lot less. But lack of body movement, a refined diet, those are two things that both adults and children get hard with and predisposed to type 2 diabetes. But something pretty staggering: back in 1984, zero cases of childhood type 2 diabetes were documented, and currently over 200,000 cases of childhood type 2 diabetes, and it's skyrocketing, according to the American Diabetes Association. I already mentioned previously in several shows that the CDC estimated that about 1/3 of Americans, over 100 million Americans, have either diabetes or prediabetes. It's growing. It's getting out of control. It's really going nuts. And this is a highly, highly reversible condition, but not with only drugs. You can't just use the drug-only approach to reverse adult or childhood type 2 diabetes. You must use a functional medicine approach that my wife and I are skilled in identifying the risk factors, in dealing with clinical nutrition, and dealing with other lifestyle factors like physical activity, like stress, or chronic physiological stress, like chronic physiological inflammation. We identify these things, oftentimes using objective laboratory testing, and then we prescribe a treatment approach that's tailored to the patient. So, you know, I kind of just wanted to bring it full circle as far as,
right,
you know, a few things that, you know, that we can talk about quickly here in 25 minutes or so that really have a dramatic impact on the health of a baby, a child, and even on into adulthood. It starts with mom. It starts with her nutritional status. It starts with how much stress she's under, how her diet is,
mm-hmm.
and then the method of delivery, and then the breastfeeding factor. And all of those impact serious chronic diseases like autoimmune disease, like type 2 diabetes. And whether it's the CDC or the National Institute of Health, all of these major organizations agree that these conditions are going out of control, and it's sort of no coincidence. When I know I've read this before from an adult standpoint, but the USDA and the Department of Health and Human Service dietary guidelines for Americans, and specifically for children aged 2 to 18 years old, here's the top 10 foods that children aged 2 to 18 years consume. Ready? Number 1, grain-based desserts. Number 2, pizza. Number 3, soda, energy drinks, and sports drinks. Number 4, yeast breads. 5, chicken and chicken mixed dishes. 6, pasta and pasta dishes. 7, reduced fat milk, highly acidic. Number 8, dairy desserts. Number 9, potato, corn, and other chips. Number 10, ready-to-eat cereals. Every single one of those things that I just listed is highly refined. It's highly processed. It absolutely impacts. It has a direct impact on your risk for type 2 diabetes.
Right.
It directly impacts your levels of inflammation in the body, which contributes to autoimmune disease, diabetes. Guess what? It also increases your risk for COVID-19. Not so much in children, according to the statistics, but certainly in adults. There's just nothing about the modern, the American diet and lifestyle that ends up resulting in optimal health. So
sure.
You really have to go against the grain, swim a little bit upstream, gather a competent group of healthcare providers like my wife and I that can help guide you in making healthy decisions and can test from time to time for things to keep you as far away from overt illness and disease as possible.
Absolutely.
We don't want to just wait for disease and symptoms. We want to catch it as early as possible, and that is what we teach our patients.
Absolutely. Well, Dr. Riggs, once again, congratulations to you, your wife, and so happy for you guys. And folks, listen, hope you'll give them a call, 720-722-0386, 5280functionalmed.com. And, hey, let's get the whole family healthy. Let's start that trend. That would be a great thing for all of us. So, Dr. Riggs, thank you as always, and we'll talk to you next week,
sir. Thank you, Scott.
All right. Thank you for joining us today for Haystack Help. Don't go anywhere. Leave it right here on KLZ 560.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.